It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
With each passing day, the reality we have formerly known is changing. So few yet see or understand the gravity and immediacy of what's unfolding in the world, with the biosphere, with civilization as a whole. How many are still clinging to the false belief that technology will somehow save us from ourselves? How many still falsely believe that someone, somewhere, in some governmental agency is looking out for them? Consider this quote from someone who certainly understood the colossal threat of misused technology, Albert Einstein. He said this: "In regard to all of our exalted technological progress, civilization, for that matter, is comparable to an axe in the hand of a pathological criminal." When whole societies choose to look the other way in regard to converging existential threats, consider this quote from Martin Luther King: "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." How many are choosing to look the other way, choosing to tell themselves it isn't so, that somehow everything will magically work itself out, and that they can ignore what's unfolding, that they have no sense of responsibility in what's unfolding around us? But that simply is not reasonable or rational. If we are to change course, it will take all of us. Forest, incinerating wildfires, and devastating deluges all are accelerating. Hurricane Florence stood still, right where the weather makers said it would, 7 days in advance. Was this a prediction come true, or the scheduled weather being carried out? Super Typhoon Mangkhut, equivalent to a Category 6 cyclone, slaughtered the Philippines and is headed toward Hong Kong. Why is the U.S. media silent on this disaster? What else are we not being told while Hurricane Florence mass distraction is being fueled? Stay tuned for the latest breaking headlines in a moment. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for September 15, 2018. This is a commercial-free news program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday morning 6 to 7, Sunday morning 7 to 8. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition in Reading. For those not in the Reading area, the latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Jim Fair. This week, Jim Fair Events. You can look that up on the Jim Fair homepage, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E, San Rafael, California, at the Marin Center Exhibit Hall, started yesterday, ends tomorrow. Next week, Salt Lake City, Utah, September 21st through the 23rd, Mountain American Exposition Center. Boise, Idaho, September 28th through September 30th at the Expo Idaho. Again, fully stocked geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth at all Jim Fair events. Free materials. You can get into the event free if you tell them you are there to pick up materials for geoengineeringwatch.org to help us sound the alarm wherever you're at. If you're near these areas, show up. Get materials you need to help wake those around you. Every day counts in this battle. Illegal climate engineering operations are further fueling record wildfires. This is the topic, one of the aspects of climate engineering that will be addressed at the upcoming Northern California Climate Engineering Awareness and Call to Action event that was canceled on July 28th due to the car fire, now rescheduled for Saturday, October 20th in Reading at the Holiday Inn. This is a free event with free informational materials for all who attend. We now know that some will be coming from as far away as Australia to attend this event. The title of the evening's presentation is Hacking the Planet, the Catastrophic Consequences of Climate Engineering. Color glossy two-sided information packed flyers are available at Orchard Nutrition in Reading as of today. Please help us distribute these flyers. A full post on the event with the event flyer PDF, so people can print it locally and distribute it, will be put up on geoengineeringwatch.org next week. I hope all who can will come. The latest frontline facts surrounding the dire climate engineering threat will be presented along with a specific course of action that can help us expose and halt the ongoing climate engineering insanity in our skies. Moving on, the 9/11 anniversary that just passed. How sad and unfortunate is it that the vast majority of Americans do not want the truth about 9/11? Stop and consider the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7, the third high-rise building to collapse on 9/11, a building that did not get hit by anything, a 50-story, 47-story steel structure high-rise that collapsed in 7 seconds, free-fall speed into its own footprint. Most people don't even know there was a third building that collapsed that day because the media and the power structure doesn't want people reminded of that fact. This is controlled demolition again, period. And there's no rational way to deny that fact. Yet the epidemic denial of the majority of the U.S. population sadly continues. The vast majority of Americans want to cling desperately to lies and denial until the absolute end. That's the fact of the matter. Those in the Reading area who want solid information on this issue from 3,000 plus of the world's top architects and engineers. There are free commercial copies of the Experts Speak Out documentary at Orchard Nutrition. Get a copy, share it with others, help to wake them up. All of this plugs into our immediate future. 9/11 was the false flag event that galvanized the American population into blind support of unbridled military-industrial complex aggression in countries around the globe to acquire resources to keep the empire expanding like a cancer. And all militaries are corrupt, not focusing only on our own. But how can we do any good in the world if we can't even control what our own military-industrial complex is doing? We must look in the mirror first. How can the powers that be distract the U.S. population from the latest anniversary of the blatant and verifiable 9/11 false flag attacks, steering a major hurricane into the U.S. East Coast works well. But wait, many ask this, why would our government do this to its own citizens? And such a question is asked by those that are either completely unaware of history or have chosen to ignore the facts. Some reminders from history. This first report is from QZ.com and other sources. U.S. nuclear tests killed far more civilians than we know. Just a small excerpt from this report. New research makes clear that the hidden costs of developing nuclear weapons were far larger than previous estimates, with radioactive fallout responsible for 340,000 to 690,000 American deaths from 1951 to 1973. The report continues under a subtitle, A Weapon Against Its Own People. When the U.S. used nuclear weapons during World War II, bombing the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, innocent civilians, by the way, many Americans still trying to convince themselves that this wholesale slaughter was necessary when history proves it was not. It was simply a warning to the world that not only did our country have nuclear bombs, but we would use them on innocent populations. And this is part of the stranglehold of control. That's when it was instituted, and that was part of the process. Continuing with this report, in regard to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, conservative estimates suggest 250,000 people at least died in an immediate aftermath of those bombings. Even those horrified by the bombing didn't realize that the U.S. would deploy similar weapons against its own people. The fallout from the nuclear testing in the continental United States killed innocent civilians, U.S. civilians, on a comparable scale. How many know that? How many are willing to face that fact? So back to the steering of cyclones. I'll cover that more later in this broadcast. For those who think that weather manipulation, climate engineering, weather warfare is not going on a global scale. You have simply not faced the data that's available. On that note, the KQMS morning radio show that immediately follows this broadcast, Global Alert News, the show is called the Freedom in Action Program. As a host named John Law, who routinely attempts to debunk the climate engineering reality with patently false statements. Mr. Law, how well would your denial of climate engineering hold up if you were face-to-face with someone who knows the verifiable facts and can readily cite them? I'm formally inviting Mr. John Law to attend the October 20th Climate Engineering Awareness Event in Reading at the Holiday Inn, and to engage in an equal time public debate of the facts during the Q&A session of that event. Hope to see you there, John, and we can sort out the truth from the lies. Moving on, the Delta fire from Northern California's own KRCR, ABC Channel 7. This report, fire crews look at most active fire behavior of Delta fire. From that report, quote, when the fire first started, it took 15,000 acres in one run in 12 hours. That is a significant amount of acreage to burn no matter where you are in the county, said Rhodes, one of the fire captains. 15,000 acres in 12 hours in timber is significant in terms of fire behavior. With that, the fire behavior that all these fires have been exhibiting in the North State this year has been, to say the least, way on the extreme end. A lot of the fire behavior, most of us that have had a lot of fire experience have never seen before. They've never seen this type of behavior. We hear it again and again and again. There is a massive factor in this equation that is not being mentioned, that is not being acknowledged, let alone being addressed, the climate engineering factor. The former news anchor for KRCR has stated he will never address the geoengineering issue, that geoengineering was just a, quote, conspiracy theory. And by the way, that's the cowardly cop-out for those who do not want to know or face the truth. That's the word they always use, conspiracy theory, the coward's way out. That's the standard narrative of denial, again, for all the bought and paid for mainstream media paid liars. Consider this. Corporate so-called media will continue to play their part of carrying out power structure deception until citizens hold them legally and morally accountable for their part in countless criminal cover-ups like the climate engineering assault. Yesterday, on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, the geoengineering cover-up continued as Democracy Now!'s Amy Goodman did her part to deceive the population by pretending the ongoing global climate engineering assault, is just a proposal when she absolutely knows better. Goodman and Democracy Now! Is the largest left-leaning news broadcast in the world. They've been given abundant data by myself, geoengineeringwatch.org, and others over the last 10 years, all of which has been categorically ignored because she and Democracy Now! Are funded by the Ford Foundation, and they are told, she is told, what she can talk about and what not. Democracy Now!'s Amy Goodman knows how long her leash is, just like the rest of the power structure-controlled corporate media. Citizens can and must organize peaceful and legal stand-ins at all corporate media facilities that continue to hide and or spin the facts for the benefit of the power structure. More on this during the call to action portion of the geoengineeringwatch.org climate engineering awareness and call to action event scheduled for Saturday, October 20th at the Holiday Inn in Redding, California. Again, a post, full post for that event will be on geoengineeringwatch.org next week. Flyers currently available at Orchard Nutrition in Redding. Headlines from the globalwellnessinstitute.com and other sources. This new report, which further highlights the power structures controlled social media crackdown on uncensored information. Facebook deletes dozens of alternative health accounts as part of its war on, quote, fake news. How many healthy people do we have left in the world? Not many. It is truly profound that the human body can take the current onslaught that we all face. We're swimming in a toxic sea every breath we take. And for those sources and sites that have the most viable protocols for trying to stay healthy in a world that isn't, That doesn't serve the power structure, and it certainly doesn't serve the medical industrial complex. So Facebook is cracking down on that. From that report, Facebook has deleted dozens of pages that are dedicated to holistic medicine in an apparent crackdown on what they called pseudoscience. The Global Freedom Movement, an alternative media site, reported that the social platform purged over 80 accounts, Facebook purged over 80 accounts, and that no reason was provided. No response to inquiries have been forthcoming. They do what they want. Facebook does what they are told. They are a tool of the power structure, period. Doesn't mean we can't still try to use this platform to the degree we can, but they are absolutely increasingly purging all viable forms of alternative information. That's their job. It has always been their mission. They're fulfilling that mission ever more by the day. Finishing from this report, this includes rather large accounts focused on health, natural remedies, and organic living, such as Just Natural Medicine with 1 million followers, Natural Cures, Not Medicine, 2.3 million followers, People's Awakening, 3.6 million followers, and many, many other smaller accounts. Sources of information for people to stay healthy in an increasingly toxic world, and Facebook does not want that. The power structure does not want that. For those who still think, again, that governments and official agencies are here to protect us, to keep us healthy, that could not be further from the truth. What else are social media platforms like Facebook trying to mask from public view? Geoengineeringwatch.org is, we are having increasingly difficult scenarios of trying to post our data on Facebook. Refusals, doesn't meet our policy. This is getting very difficult to work with to get our data out. We need people to help us circulate frontline data if we're going to have any chance of waking the masses. In regard to that, unfolding scenarios like Hurricane Florence, absolutely a steered storm. Although nature can and is spawning hurricanes with our superheated oceans and our superheating atmosphere, nature has no trouble spawning cyclones, and the climate engineers are increasingly proficient at steering those storms. As we saw with Hurricane Florence, much like Hurricane Floyd, weakened while it was making its trajectory to wherever the climate engineers wanted it to be, much easier to steer a smaller storm with radio frequency transmissions and aerosol dispersions from aircraft. By the way, for those that don't know, hurricane suppression programs over 70 years old from the U.S. government, Project Sirius, 1947. Please check your history for those who deny that these programs exist. Over 70 years. So Florence did exactly what it was scheduled to do. It traversed the Atlantic, strengthened near landfall, and parked in the exact position that they said it would. What's keeping it there? We will post next week. I already posted last week an update on the storm with radio frequency microwave transmission animations from Hurricane Harvey that showed clearly, inarguably, how radio frequency microwave transmitter sources on land kept Harvey parked in the position it stayed in to create massive record deluges. You can see these animations firsthand. You can see how the radio frequency transmissions stop the progression of the storm because these transmissions repel the water vapor moisture and the electrically conductive particulates these storms are seeded with, and they can thus push back against the forward movement of that storm. We have already recorded at geoengineeringwatch.org multiple animations of what has happened with Hurricane Florence as it reached the position it was forecasted, or I would argue scheduled to reach. The full array of radio frequency microwave transmission facilities in the southeastern U.S. fully energized, holding this storm in position. It's inarguable. We will post these animations next week with an updated summary of Hurricane Florence. Whatever we want to try to argue about in regard to the agendas being carried out, the fact that these storms are being steered cannot be argued. It cannot be argued. And one of the primary factors relating to our superheating planet, This storm is a moisture pump, and if you look at the forecast or scheduled path for this storm circulating up the inland part of the eastern U.S., pumping out moisture everywhere, which the climate engineers chemically nucleate to temporarily cool down those regions. For those who don't know what chemical ice nucleation is, please search geoengineeringwatch.org, engineered winter, or chemical ice nucleation. You'll find lots of data, including patents, science studies. This is particulates that cause an endothermic energy absorbing reaction in the cloud moisture, creates a cool down on the surface. A temporary toxic cool down, but the consequences of their activities are not relevant to the climate engineers. Certainly that would be one of the agenda items, but there are many, many more. Florence has provided mass distraction for the power structure while they're dropping white phosphorus bombs on a sovereign nation of Syria, a nation that is one of many nations that were the stated objective to topple after 9/11. Been over this again and again and again, and Florence provides mass distraction from that. It mires the populations in those regions that are inundated in a struggle for life. They certainly can't focus on the bigger picture. Many agendas being carried out. We can't know them all. We simply can't. We can speculate. But again, we can say with absolute certainty that these storms are being steered. What about Super Typhoon Mangkhut? That is, or was for a time, a Category 6 equivalent storm. Just cut a swath through the Philippines, and the Philippines hit again and again and again because they are not conforming. They are not going along with the Western power structure empire. A lot of friction between the U.S. and the Philippines. So is it just a coincidence that they are hit again and again and again with record cyclones, Mangkhut possibly being the strongest storm ever recorded, and now on a path for Hong Kong? Has our media covered that? Not so much. Not at all. We have other mass distractions like the gas explosions from multiple sources. This report, after gas explosions and fires, Massachusetts residents demand answers. Seems to be some catastrophe to cause mass distraction anytime the power structure needs it, doesn't there? From that report, the authorities were looking at the possibility that gas may have been placed under a level of pressure that was too high for the pipeline, and it was moving through, creating cascading crises in more than 8,500 homes and businesses across three towns. Doesn't make you feel too safe to be hooked up to the grid, does it, when they can pump up the gas pressure and create a cataclysm anytime they want? Mass distraction over and over doesn't mean the catastrophe wasn't real. Of course it's real. But it also provides cover for a power structure that's increasingly out of control all over the planet, maneuvering for global conflict, as that is their last card to play. Again, this reminder, and consider this fact as I move into the following headlines. As the biosphere implodes, power structure desperation will go exponential. The danger posed by global power structures, not just our own, will also go exponential. And we see the signs of that all around us. Consider this next headline report, which is getting closer to the mark, but still falls far short of the gravity and immediacy of what is actually unfolding around us. From the New York Times and other sources, UN chief warns of a dangerous tipping point on climate change. From that report, warning of the risks of, quote, runaway global warming, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Monday called on global leaders to rein in climate change faster. He said, quote, if we do not change course by 2020, we risk missing the point where we can avoid runaway climate change, Mr. Guterres said at a United Nations headquarters meeting in New York. Mr. Guterres, we know you know that we passed the point of no return perhaps two decades ago. And although this report from the UN chief might sound dire to some, the reality is far more dire still. We are in a runaway climate collapse scenario right now. And it is unfolding extremely rapidly. When I tried to sound this alarm 10 years ago, few seemed concerned. Few seemed to think it was possible. But the data indicated it was exactly the scenario we are on. How much has happened in that 10 years? I would ask anybody to stand back and consider how much has happened. We've gone from a thriving forest. I live in the middle of a thriving forest. Can't see any civilization in any direction. It's gone silent in 10 years. Silent. Trees are dying. Almost no wildlife, or much less wildlife. There's still some that are hanging on. I don't know what they're eating. There's hardly any acorns. There's very few berries on anything. Almost no insects. Silent. In a forest that was thriving with life only 10 years ago. You can't just turn this off. And that's what people need to understand. You can't. If you crash through the guardrail and are careening through the air to the bottom of the canyon, putting on the brakes doesn't do much at that point. You're going to go to the bottom of the canyon. And that's where we are all headed. But we still get lies of pacification from agencies like the UN. That's their job. And not that such a statement of such a catastrophic scenario by 2020, not that that should pacify people, but it does. The current trend must be broken. It must be broken. We must collectively focus on what is the logical, rational, greatest priority. What is the greatest priority? A planet that supports life, being able to breathe air that is not contaminated. What's the single greatest destructive factor in the equation today? The greatest threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. That threat is climate engineering. And climate engineering is a term that falls far short of what's happening in our skies. Again, climate engineering, by its very nature, is weather warfare, is biological warfare because of the highly toxic elements that are raining down through the air column. And to be clear, that's not just an undesired consequence for those in power. It's not that they feel they have to engineer the climate and they're just sorry about the fact that it's poisoning all of us. That's not the case. The fact that we are all getting dumber by the day from the highly toxic particulate fallout, which breaking frontline reports that I covered in the last 2 weeks broadcasts prove. Our intelligence level, our cognitive function is dropping precipitously. We are literally getting dumber by the day. That serves the power structure. Make no mistake about that. That's not an undesired consequence for them. That's a very desired consequence for them. A population that's not firing on all neurons is far easier to control. And the mechanisms they can now use, like Hurricane Florence, steering these storms, which they absolutely positively could suppress if they chose to. Patented hurricane suppression technology could have suppressed that storm. And some mainstream media outlets like Discovery Channel have talked about this, not directly admitting that it's ongoing and successful, but it is. Search Discovery Channel Owning the Weather documentary. Watch that documentary. Read between the lines. This technology has existed for decades. If the power structure did not want Hurricane Florence to reach the U.S. mainland, it would not have. Let's remember the 12-year major hurricane drought in the U.S. that we just passed. We had a 12-year major landfall drought. The various agendas, again, we can speculate about, but the fact that they make or break hurricanes once they're formed is beyond question. Again, a power structure that is completely out of control and that does not care about the welfare of the population. That has always been the case. The American population needs to face that fact, and so many people serve that power structure. And again, this is what's important. I get this question over and over from people. Why would they, the proverbial they at the top, do this to themselves? We have so many examples of this, so many, from the nuclear scenario, which I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, the detonation of over 2,000 nuclear bombs all over the world, contaminated everything and everyone. Those in power did it anyway. Fukushima, which I'll cover more on in this broadcast later. Countless other forms of irreparable damage to the planet, to the biosphere, affecting even those at the top. But it's important to remember that those at the top could not do what they do without the legions of order followers, many of which all of us know, that are, quote, just doing their job. Just doing their job. And on that note, let's consider a reminder. Engineering firms in the Shasta County area that our legal team tried to hire to do what they normally do in the course of business, environmental testing. And none would allow us to hire them to test precipitation because they were too afraid of the political ramifications, because when those tests show what we know they would show, those firms would be required to testify in court, and they were afraid to do that. So let's all just pretend that everything's fine, Let's all just do our jobs until the ship goes down. And that's what's happening. I would like to appeal to anyone in those firms to step forward and allow us to hire you to do what you're paid to do, environmental testing, and show the backbone to follow through with doing what's right, doing a job that your firm is designed to do. People ask why we can't press forward with legal action, which we hope to do soon regardless of these hurdles, because we are making progress. But this is exactly the kind of example that I've tried to bring up again and again and again. People in agencies, people in engineering firms, people in so-called elected official positions, none of them willing to face realities that they feel could cause them some discomfort in their personal paradigm. So everybody just toes the line until the ship goes down. That paradigm must be broken. It must be broken. I hope anybody listening in any agency or any elected officials or environmental groups, organizations, none of whom are willing to face this issue either. I brought up in the past again over and over because they're 501c3s. They're afraid of losing those 501s. So they ignore the greatest threat of all while the entire biosphere implodes around us. That's complete hypocrisy. There's a local climate engineering meeting in Reading that occurred last Saturday by people who are concerned about global warming. Justifiably so. The planet's not just warming, it's in total meltdown. Lots of causes. But at that meeting, I was told not a single word was mentioned about climate engineering, not a single word. Total, absolute hypocrisy. So there's plenty of hypocrisy to go around, plenty of it, on all sides of the fence. From those on one side who incomprehensibly claim that there's nothing wrong with the climate, that everything's fine, that it just magically fixes itself, to the other side of the fence that chooses to ignore the single greatest factor in the equation that they claim to be trying to champion, climate change, without acknowledging the climate engineering factor, the single greatest factor in the equation. Not the only factor, I want to stress that. Countless forms of human damage to the planet, but the greatest factor. So no shortage of hypocrisy to go around. We must change courses or we're done. And on that note, let me move on to further headlines to outline just how dire our scenario is. First, let me give this footnote on, speaking of hypocrisy, Jerry Brown from Fox News, which I don't often quote because they don't often state the truth like the rest of mainstream media. But in this case, this is on target. From Fox News and other sources, this expose of total hypocrisy. The coalition calling itself Brown's Last Chance said, while the governor warns of a coming climate catastrophe, he is overly accommodating to the California fossil fuel industry, accepting nearly $10 million in campaign-related donations since becoming governor in 2011. Jerry Brown has permitted 20,000 new oil wells as governor. That doesn't sound like a governor who's too concerned with climate change, does it? Total hypocrisy. Those in power on both sides of the fence are all a part of the problem. They're all a part of the theater. All of them. Those who are still caught up in any particular political camp are missing the point. It's all theater designed to distract you from the threats that are about to kick in our front door. All of us. One more quick footnote on hypocrisy for those who think that Germany is an environmentally concerned country, that they are concerned about the imploding biosphere. Think again. Consider this new report from multiple sources. Germany is cutting down a 12,000-year-old forest to make way for a coal mine. What a great idea. On a planet that's descending into total meltdown, let's cut down the remaining trees or let's burn them down as a part of the climate engineering operations. I've covered that on geoengineeringwatch.org as well. Again, I challenge everyone who hasn't seen the 20-minute video report done on geoengineeringwatch.org in regard to the wildfires and the relationship to climate engineering, please go to geoengineeringwatch.org. Look to the recent or top story columns. The title of the report is called Geoengineering is Fueling Firestorm Catastrophes. Examine that report in its entirety. And the video reports contained in that link. Important to understand what's going on, severity and immediacy of what's unfolding. We ignore the pending catastrophes that are closing in on us at our own peril. Denial won't save us, any of us. Continuing, there's this new report, in case You thought that the Fukushima cataclysm was over. Here's the title of the report. Fukushima has now contaminated one-third of the world's oceans. No end in sight. And we're building more nuclear plants now, the meltdown of which, each of which, is absolutely inevitable. Inevitable. More on that subject at geoengineeringwatch.org as well. From Newsweek and other sources, this new dire report, and for the record, mainstream media is not covering such news because they want us to know the truth. Rather, it's because they know they can no longer hide the truth. Here's the headline. NASA has discovered Arctic lakes bubbling with methane, and that's very bad news. Yes, that is absolutely very bad news. But why did it take so long to report? Why have stories like this been ignored for so long? The methane issue is perhaps, may end up being perhaps, the final linchpins in our collective coffins. Many know about the Bermuda Triangle scenario, ships sinking for decades, planes going down intact, ships going down intact. For those who have not heard me disseminate on this subject before, this is the result of methane release from the seabed, formerly frozen methane hydrates and methane clathrates. So what does this mean? It means that formerly frozen methane deposits that are now thawing and releasing because the oceans are superheating, whole fields release at once, aerates the water like a bottle of champagne, and ships have no buoyancy. They go down intact when that methane hits the sea surface and begins to rise into the atmosphere. The methane cloud can kill a piston-driven engine, thus bringing some of the planes down. This has been going on for decades. The methane continues to migrate up into the atmosphere, where it spreads out and starts to cover the planet like a layer of glass. This is happening on a catastrophic scale right now. Recent methane measurements as high as 3,400 parts per billion. The planet hasn't been over 700 parts per billion for a million years or more. We are in completely uncharted territory, and now mainstream media has finally had to start acknowledging this because the biosphere is imploding by the day. From this report, lakes across Alaska and Siberia have started to bubble with methane, and the release of this highly potent greenhouse gas has scientists worried. Last month, NASA released footage showing the bubbling Arctic lakes, which are the result of a little-known phenomenon called abrupt thawing. Why is it little-known? We've talked about it at geoengineeringwatch.org for a decade. They're having to admit it now. It occurs when the permafrost ground that has been frozen for potentially thousands of years, much longer, thaws faster than expected. Why wasn't it expected? Why hasn't the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the largest scientific panel ever in human history on any subject? Methane and methane release is not even a part of their modeling. How can that be? There is enough frozen methane deposits on this planet to turn it into Venus 100 times over, and the largest scientific panel on any subject in human history, on a panel on the climate, does not even consider methane in their equations. This is the case because the IPCC, like the EPA, like WHO, World Health Organization, and all other organizations like them, are there to pacify populations, to hide the severity of what's unfolding until the last possible moment. But the methane is expelling. I've talked about this again and again and again for a decade. For those who want to see how bad the methane expulsions are, search Siberian methane craters. You will be absolutely shocked to see what looks like a massive bomb zone, massive craters all over the Yamal Peninsula, for example, from methane that's thawing and exploding into the atmosphere. This is why nighttime low temperatures are rising twice as fast as daytime highs, in some cases three times faster, because heat is getting into the atmosphere and not getting out. That's called Venus syndrome. We are on it. We're again immersed in an abrupt climate collapse, climate engineering making it far worse, not better. Again, for those people, I want to stress that it's not a this or that equation. So many people falsely choose to believe that the only thing wrong with the climate is climate engineering, and that is not true. Please help us to gain credibility, which will help us to build bridges with the climate science community, to help draw them out of the corners they're hiding in right now. We can do that if we stand on credible data. That means acknowledging all forms of human damage to the planet. We can't rationally deny that. But at the same time, we must stress to all of those in the environmental communities, the climate science communities, that there is no legitimate discussion about climate or the state of the climate without first and foremost addressing climate engineering, which we must expose and halt. We must allow the planet to respond to the damage done, or I would argue, mathematically speaking, we have no chance. I want to continue with headlines about the frontline biosphere collapse, which again is the bottom line. Politics mean nothing. The so-called economy means nothing without a planet that supports life. And the economy that modern industrialized, militarized civilization has constructed is an economy that grinds up nature for short-term profit. And that is a recipe for absolutely mathematically certain near-term total planetary omnicide. And we are almost at that point. Another headline. From the Moscow Times and other sources, this new headline report: Russian ministry warns of coming environmental apocalypse fueled by climate change. Again, no mention of climate engineering, because Russia is involved, just like our country, just like China, and just like every other country, passively or actively. They are involved. And those who try to dissent, I should state this, there are some exceptions, like Iran, who's not participating in the climate engineering insanity, and who is publicly stated on the record that their rain is being cut off by NATO weather modification programs, which is absolutely true. I've cited this in broadcast after broadcast. Every single country that was targeted after 9/11 to be toppled and taken over has undergone a once in 1,000 year drought because their precipitation is being cut off. So for those who try to pretend that climate engineering is some sort of benevolent for the common good operation, that couldn't be further from the truth. There is no benevolence in climate engineering, absolutely none. From this report from the Moscow Times, Russia's environmental ministry has published a report that paints an apocalyptic future for the country, and that means all of us, all over the world, due to climate change, with consequences including epidemics, drought, mass flooding, and hunger. Mass die-off is near. It's already underway in many countries, and it will accelerate rapidly as the continuation of ecosystem collapse accelerates. Fisheries collapse, crop collapse, happening all over the globe. Can't hide it for much longer. For those that still believe the economy is booming, or that it will someday, please examine the frontline facts. As the biosphere implodes again, as I stated, it is, the economy will follow. Civilization as we know it is next. This is a given. It is in process. The sooner we collectively face reality, the better the odds of salvaging what is yet left of Earth's life support systems. From Robert Leisure's Facebook page, a quote. I just want to give him credit for this. A warning from Jacques Cousteau in 1997. I grew up with Jacques Cousteau. It's all I watched in other environmental programs. And for those who demonize Mr. Cousteau for correctly stating that population would be a problem, he's simply stating a fact. A fact is a fact. If it's an unpleasant fact, it doesn't change that it is a fact. And I'm sorry for those who don't want to believe this, for those who state everybody in the world could fit in Texas and still have a little elbow room. That doesn't address the problem. It takes a tremendous amount of land, especially under certain types of habitat, to support a single human being. A tremendous amount. It's not about elbow room. It's about resources. And we have stripped the planet of resources, nearly stripped it completely. So when someone states a fact, it doesn't make them a part of some global eugenics program. He's simply stating a fact that Mr. Cousteau did an immense amount of good to try to point out what was happening in the world. I'm not saying he was a perfect human being, but he did an immense amount of good. He certainly changed my life. I can hear his voice in my head still from the time when I was a boy. And I watch things that I will never forget, never. On one Jacques Cousteau program, I remember at 9 or 10 years old, a female salmon got stuck on a sandbar. And the male salmon flopped up onto that sandbar next to her and stayed with her and died. It struck me so profoundly, even as a small boy. I couldn't grasp that kind of behavior from nature, the self-sacrifice that I've pondered about that, and so many other things like that I've seen. It changed me. It changed the way I felt about life, about nature, about what mattered, about what didn't. To see nature behaving in a way that was so contradictory to what we see from our own species. People like Mr. Cousteau helped to convey that message. Here's an excerpt from this report and a quote from Mr. Cousteau. After researching many global trends over more than five decades, Jacques Cousteau, world-famous marine explorer, inventor, and conservationist, made the following statement at age 87, shortly before his death in 1997. 9 years after Dr. James Hansen presented his alarming climate change warnings to the U.S. Senate, Mr. Cousteau said this: "It is already too late. We've passed the threshold. The beginning of the end has started. Humankind may or may not be a part of the plan nature has for Earth in the future. Life will be reborn, but first the world as we know it will die. We passed the point of no return decades ago, and Mr. Cousteau knew that. He was correct. And how did he know that? Because he spent his life immersed in the natural world and saw the changes that were happening. And so many are now cut off from that natural world and in the urban constructs that so-called civilization has erected. Our disconnection from nature is a death sentence. We do not survive without nature. We cannot survive without habitat. And our habitat is being lost at an extraordinary pace, a pace that cannot continue, or we won't be here much longer." Another headline from globalnews.ca, this headline report: "Montana's boundary fire spills over into Canada, triggers again extreme fire behavior in Alberta." We hear it again and again and again, unprecedented fire behavior. We need the firefighting agencies and personnel to step forward and examine the facts. To examine the factor in the equation that is not being acknowledged from any official source. And I know many in some of these agencies that know. And I hope they're circulating data, and I hope they're building support so that soon whole agencies will stand up and help us to push the truth into the light of day. Another headline from the Olympian.com and other sources: this acknowledgement of the tree die-off. Some acknowledgement. "Some of Washington's biggest trees," this is the headline, "are dying, and scientists don't know why." Over and over we see that, don't we? They just don't know why, because they won't acknowledge the climate engineering elephant in the room, the severity of climate collapse, the ozone layer collapse, the toxic materials in the precipitation that lab tests prove are there that are poisoning root systems and soils. Scientists just don't know why. We need to hold them accountable. We need those in academia to find their courage and step forward and help us to sound the alarm. We do not have much time left. Another headline from Wired.com and other sources: this report, another glaring example of the fires and flooding weather extreme scenarios. "Wisconsin floods are catastrophic." This hasn't even hit the news for most people that aren't there. "And only getting worse. An entire summer's worth of rain has fallen across the band, a broad swath of the Midwest in recent days. The resulting record floods have wreaked havoc, wrecking homes and altering the path of rivers, in one case destroying a waterfall in Minnesota. Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin declared a statewide emergency last week, mobilizing the Wisconsin National Guard to assist in flood victims." We have the mobilization of U.S. military and National Guard all over the country in many locations. I mean, we're having flooding in Texas right now as well. And many people don't know this, and we have the mobilization of military or National Guard. Is this part of the plan to beta test the deployment of the military? Much is occurring. Again, our reality is unraveling by the day. From econewsmedia.net, "Feds say power plant can store nuclear waste below Miami's drinking water because it's, quote, not likely to leak." That's reassuring, isn't it? From that report, Florida Power and Light's Turkey Point Nuclear Generating Station is already leaking dangerous salt water into the aquifers that are Miami's largest source of drinking water. Despite that alarming fact, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, NRC, recently ruled that the FPL, that's the Florida Power Plant Organization, can move forward with a plan to build two new nuclear reactors and store nuclear waste, including radioactive material, in an area just below those same aquifers. How incredibly ridiculously stupid is that? Just like fracking. And how many Americans are turning the other way, turning two blind eyes to the systematic destruction of what's left of our environment? We won't be here long under the current course. Another headline. From the Parnarth Daily News and other sources, the first 2,000 tons of nuclear mud, this is nuclear contaminated mud, is dumped off Parnarth in the United Kingdom. What a great idea. Let's just take it out and dump it in the ocean. That's the sort of mentality of industrialized, militarized society, a mentality of suicidal behavior. From the Huffington Post and other sources, this report, how rising seas could sink nuclear plants on the East Coast. I hate to say it again, but could, may, might. That's the sort of ridiculously false headlines that we get. When the oceans rise, there's no could about it. The plants, nuclear plants, will fail and go into meltdown mode. It's coming. It's absolutely coming. Industrialized, militarized society, as I outlined in the very beginning of this broadcast, technology that will kill us. From the New York Times and other sources, this new report, many major airports are near sea level. A disaster in Japan shows what can go wrong, what must go wrong, I would argue. Infrastructure all over the globe is increasingly being inundated, and that will increase in severity rapidly. Another headline. This headline is an admission from the power structure controlled Weather Channel. They're not admitting it, again, because their mission is to tell the truth. It's not. The mission of the Weather Channel is to cover the tracks of the climate engineers. The following report is being given because the situation is getting so severe the truth can no longer be hidden. Here's the headline. Summer nights have never been hotter in the lower 48. Lower 48 had its warmest average low temperatures for any summer since record keeping began in 1895. Twice as hot as night, as I outlined in the beginning of this report, early in this report. Air pollution, again, over and over. The alarms are finally being sounded. Silent killer in London, air pollution has become a matter of life and death. It's not just London, it's all over the globe. According to research, air pollution kills thousands in the city every year. That will get worse, not better, not just in London. Another headline along those lines from the UK Guardian and other sources. Air pollution is, quote, biggest environmental health risk in Europe. From that report, governments are failing to tackle the crisis that causes over 1,000 early deaths a day, says damning new EU report. We are breathing toxic air. That is the fact of the matter. We have lab tests to prove that climate engineering fallout, among other forms of human pollution, are raining down through the air column. But the climate engineering fallout, the most toxic. We must remember and consider that every breath we take is laden with these materials from climate engineering jet aircraft dispersions that we see in our skies on such a regular basis. Moving on, from MNN.com and other sources, this report to consider. In 1972, a computer model predicted the end of the world, and we are on track. From the report, in the early 1970s, a computer program called World One predicted that civilization would likely collapse by 2040. Researchers from Massachusetts Institute of Technology had programmed it to consider a model of sustainability for the world. We are about two decades plus ahead of schedule. That's the mathematical fact of the matter. Encourage people again to face reality by digging for information, looking for facts. It's up to all of us. It's up to all of us to rein in our personal pursuits of pleasure in exchange for the greater good. And is there not pleasure in that? Is there not solace in looking in the mirror and knowing that you are doing your best to preserve some semblance of a future for the children of the world? Do we not owe them our lives? We owe them our lives. Fighting for the greater good, for our children, for their lives, for the web of life, is not an option, it's an obligation. It's an obligation for all of us. One more headline from sciencealert.com and other sources. This new report, which should have long since been blatantly obvious to any that were awake and aware. To save ourselves, it's time to rethink our economic system, warn scientists. Yes, it's about time that they state this. The planet is struggling. Study after scientific study warns that we've pushed far beyond the physical boundaries of what our living world can sustain. You cannot perpetually expand, consuming every living thing, every bit of resource on a finite planet with finite resources. That is a recipe for near-term certain suicide. That's the course we're on. The walls are closing in, not just on the world's empires, but on all of us. Though our collective futures are not yet carved in stone, with each passing day on the current course, our fate becomes more certain. A complete change of direction for the human race cannot commence before or without waking the masses to what is unfolding. Though the converging catastrophes will soon force such an awakening, it is imperative for those who are already awake to do all we can to awaken others. To help turn the tide, we must expect resistance from those that are not interested in facing the truth. But we must not let such resistance deter us from marching on with our efforts to sound the alarm. Plant seeds of awareness, share credible data from a credible source, make every day count. Forward into the storm, no fear, only unyielding resolve. Never give up, ever. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.